Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today to join together to worship our God. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are our life and our home. We thank you that you're our creator and sustainer, but you're also the one who has come in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to rescue us. You've created us to have you at the center of our lives, and we cannot be content until we're in relationship with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made that possible for us by your life and death and resurrection. And you, Father and Son, have sent the Holy Spirit so that you've made your home within our hearts, even as we've made you our home. As we consider your word this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask you to direct us, to open our eyes, our hearts, to let your word live in us, and for us to welcome the refining of your word in us so that we live freely in the complete freedom that Jesus has given. Help us to honor you in doing that and to serve and care for each other. So Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's been a while, obviously, since Shil and I have been able to be with you. And it is so good to be back for this Sunday and for next Sunday as well. And we are so thankful for sending of Pastor Ken and Carolyn here, for them to be able to join in the life of Edmiston Heights. And because of sort of the investment of the previous year as we were here as interim, it just means a lot to us to see things continuing well. Thank you, too, for continuing to connect with people in the neighborhood, to share the love of Jesus with people in person, because that's why we're here. And our prayers are with you as you continue to do that. Let's join together now as we read today's scripture from Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we're going to look especially at verse 15 of Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Next week when we get together, we're going to look at the next verse as our main focus, verse 16. But today, this one. Remembering to let the peace of Christ rule over you. We need to do this because of the fact that there is so much that steals peace from us. Everything around us is shouting. Everything around us is saying things are out of control. The world is a mess. We're able to, in Canada, certainly have a fair amount of peace and order comparatively to the rest of the nations of the world, but even here, those things are yelling at us, in part because the media wants attention. And if everything's going well and smooth, people stop paying attention. So they keep pressing upon us how bad things are. We're aware of it, certainly because of the pandemic and the restrictions that we've gone through, and the fear that there'll be the next wave that will again restrict us, shut things down. We're aware of it because of inflation, the concerns that the economy is not very strong or robust, actually never has been, but we're always fearful it's going to fall apart anyway. Because of climate change, because things are not the way they used to be in terms of the environment. Weather here is becoming much more unpredictable and more extreme. Because of our fears and concerns about war, our concerns for the people in Ukraine, but also that war could escalate. So many things steal our peace. And so we need to remember to let the peace of Christ rule over us. So what is that peace of Christ? Well, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, talk about the unity that's involved in the body of Christ. And peace really becomes that bond which allows the Holy Spirit's work to make us one as the body of Christ. The passage that we looked at a few minutes ago from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. That peace that passes understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace is really what protects us. It becomes a guard within our hearts so that the things that are pressing in on us all the time, the things that are yelling at us, can be put off, and we can live in the reality that God cares for us. These next words are not a definition of peace, but merely a description. Peace is restored relationship with God, and that one is so vital for us. That's the foundation for everything. When we are not in connection with God, then the things that we worry about, the things that keep bubbling up inside that tell us things are not in control, when those things are there, well, they've got a reason to be there. But when relationship with God is restored, then we're in a place where we can be at peace because the Lord is the Lord, because he's in control. It's peace that brings calm to our hearts. Instead of all of those busy things that keep running around inside of us saying, be afraid, it's enjoyment of relationships. So God has restored us to relationship with himself, but not just for that. He's also restored us to relationship with himself so that we can have health in our relationships with one another. And it's harmony within the body of Christ. Harmony is kind of a good word to choose in this, because of the fact that it's speaking of people blending together so that there's a sound that's more beautiful than what is found simply alone. It's harmony where we cooperate with each other and help each other and care for each other, even when we don't necessarily agree with each other. That's a description of the peace that our God gives. So Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as members of one body. The Greek word for let rule has various shades of meaning to it. At its basis, it's talking about an arbitrator or an umpire. And if you are Blue Jay fans, you know you don't like the umpire, but the umpire is there to keep order. It's to make certain that there is fairness, that there's balance that's involved. That same word from other parts of it, different ways that it's used, different verbs that have the same basic root of it, also is talking about slowing. Being slow is not necessarily a good thing, but it's talking about slowing in terms of the anxiety that's in us. So we look at all the things that's pressing in on us from around us, and everything says, be afraid. You know what it's like when it upsets the balance of what you're doing. Things feel like they're falling apart and you can't sleep at night. You wake up in the middle of the night and everything's running in circles inside you. This let rule is what slows those things down so that you can actually stop and see what's there instead of it dominating you. You now can start to have a clarity, a focus that allows you to get a handle on what's really going on instead of being chased by it, instead of feeling like there's no way there's a solution to this. And it also has the idea of it as in steering. Like a rudder on a ship. It is a slowing down and ordering so that you can see the different things that are going on, and then it has help so that you know the steps to take, so that you can start to have freedom instead of being a victim. Now you're a person who's able to walk in that freedom. It is an imperative command, but in Greek there's active and passive and middle, and this is kind of middle. It is let rule. So it's not a ruling that you do. Rather, it's a ruling that you cooperate with. You get a choice in this. You let it. You allow it to rule and slow and order your life. Let the peace of Christ rule. And the good news is you actually can do that. You actually can stop and call on Jesus to help to bring order to who you are, bring order to how you relate to other people, start to bring healing into that, and certainly within the body of Christ. You can do that because it is your inheritance. When you've come to Jesus, when you've become a new creation, it's part of what you get. It's one of the benefits that's involved. You can let the peace of Christ rule in you as an individual and rule in relationships with other people. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Now, when I was thinking about that whole idea of members, I like words. I like to see where they came from. I like to see how they're put together, what they mean, how people assign meaning to them. Language itself is such a fascinating study as to how we acquire it. Early childhood educators are just constantly studying how children are able to gain language. Interesting, different languages of the world, how people can talk in other languages and understand one another. When we don't know the language, it doesn't sound like anything. When we do know the language, we say words and it communicates something. We gather meaning from it. So I got thinking about that word, members. And then I got thinking about the fact that we have other forms of it. We have remember, we have dismember. Remembering is one of those things that we're called to do as followers of Jesus. When we gather together and share around the Lord's table, we're called to remember. Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." The idea of remembrance in Scripture is not simply to recall, but it does involve that. But it's more, much more than recall. It is remember so that what has taken place in the past now lives in you and completely helps and directs and impacts everything you are and do. So we remember Christ's sacrifice for us because he did it. It's something that occurred in the past. But because Jesus is alive, when we remember around the table of communion, we're remembering so that Jesus' life is in us at this very moment. We walk with him. We're one with him. His sacrifice applies to us. His resurrection applies to us. And he's here. He's present among us. He says that I'm with you always to the very end of the age, but with the intention that he's coming back as well. So we remember. When we contrast that with dismember, dismembering something is taking it apart. Dismembering science class when you're doing experiments with little creatures, you dismember them so that you start to understand how they work, how they put together, but you're not going to be able to put them together again. We dismember when we forget. But when we remember, then that starts to become fact for us. And this is about the body of Christ. This is bringing us together to live in the freedom and wholeness that Christ alone gives. So, remembering to let the peace of Christ rule over you. Here are some things that Paul wants us to remember. He wants us, first of all, to remember who Christ is. In the book of Colossians, there are some just beautiful, powerful statements of who Jesus is. He's fully human, just like you and me, except not selfish. And at the same time, he's fully God. So back in chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." He wants us to remember this because he wants us to have peace within our hearts and peace within our relationships. We go on in Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For in him, in Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, the spiritual things, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So this one is a total understanding of worldview, an understanding of who we are and how we work and what's going on in the world around us. Paul is saying Jesus not only is our creator, but he's actively the one who allows us to live and move. My heart is beating at this very moment. Yep. It's beating at this very moment. I'm breathing. My brain function is working because of the fact that Jesus is holding me together. It's saying that all of creation, everything, the room around us, the chairs we're sitting on, the air we're breathing, they're all functioning because Jesus is not only the one who made it, but he is the one who is enabling it to continue to work. If you reflect on that one for a while, it becomes either the best news you've ever heard or the most disturbing news you've ever heard. He is the one who's holding everything together. It has direct bearing on this issue of peace, direct bearing on what's going on in our world at this moment. Jesus is the one who's holding everything together. So why doesn't he fix it? Why doesn't he fix what's broken in the world? And part of the answer is he's entered this world to pay for the brokenness that's there with his own life. He hasn't ignored the brokenness. He hasn't set it in motion and maintained it. He's raising up people to live eternity with him. He's raising up a family, and he wants every single person on this earth to be part of the family. That's why he's paid for the sin of the whole world with his life. Jesus gives us the right and the responsibility to choose who we are, what we'll do. And he wants us to join him as part of his family. If he made us do it, then there's no choice. If he makes us be righteous people against our will, then the whole purpose of raising up the family is defeated. But he suffers with us. He understands suffering. He understands it much better than we do, because he's not only suffered like we have, like we do, but he has suffered completely by not giving in to being selfish, by not giving in to what this broken world, those spiritual powers that we read about earlier, are doing to try to destroy and kill and separate from God. Paul says it again in chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus is 100% God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. He is the exact representation of who he is. So for this peace to rule us, remember who Christ is. And remember what Christ has done for us and what he's given us. He has removed our old self with its power. And he has given us, literally, he has given us his heart when we become a new creation. He puts his life in us and we become one with him. You might be able to make out the verses that I put in very small print there, but it's the continuation of what we read from Colossians 2, verse 9. It starts with, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. It's not a coincidence that the fullness of deity in Jesus is now used in another form, but again, the same basic word, fullness again. That you've been brought to fullness. Paul is saying Jesus is fully God. And when you put your trust in Jesus, you become God's child. You get to share in what it is that Jesus is. His life becomes your life. And he's not holding back anything of who he is from those who belong to him. So important to know. He goes on and he uses an uncomfortable image for us. He says, first of all, he is the head. Jesus is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Paul's using the Old Testament religious Jewish practice of circumcision. We don't talk about it much, because how do you talk about it? But the concept of it was simply that the Jewish people were coming out of a culture that was in rebellion against God. And much of that rebellion had to do with sexuality, fertility worship. God instituted this practice because his people were making a statement. We do not worship other gods. We do not worship sexuality. We worship God. He is our life, our strength, our help. And in terms of fertility religions, life is not there because you happen to worship a deity that has to do with sexuality. Life is there because you worship God. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. So the Jewish practice of circumcision. But Paul is now taking that and applying it to people who don't have that physical practice, but something different has taken place. Jesus has circumcised the hearts of people so that they're no longer ruled by death, no longer ruled by the things that make this world what it is in terms of its brokenness, in terms of its attempts to control people or dominate them and make them be what they're supposed to be. Instead, Jesus has done something new. He's cut away our old self. Past tense. We put our faith in Jesus. He has cut away that self, which is self-centered, but never alive. Always chasing after wanting to be alive, but never getting there because it doesn't take you there. That selfish part of us that, oh, I wish I could stop this. I wish I could stop doing this thing that's ruining my heart and ruining my relationships and ruining people around me. I wish I could stop, but I can't. But Jesus has cut away that part of us. He's removed it. The circumcision of the heart, not performed by human hands, but performed by the work of God for those who put their trust in Him. So Jesus has the fullness of God, and all who are in Him are given that fullness. We're part of God's family. His DNA is in us. But more than that, He's also set us free from what used to be there. That's all part of peace. So when we remember what Christ has done for us, then we also remember who we are in Christ. Back in verse 12 of the passage we read, just this glorious statement. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy. I don't know whether you feel holy or not, but you are because of the work of Jesus. And dearly loved. Not just loved. Paul's searching for a way to find the expression of how much you're loved. Dearly loved. You are precious beyond belief, beyond measure, beyond anything you've dreamt about as a possibility. That's why Paul has that passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I want you to have power, he says, from God to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He's thinking in terms of oceans. Oceans that don't have shores. Oceans that don't have bottoms. That's what God's love is like for us. You're holy and you're dearly loved. That's who you are in Christ. So, since the old thing that used to steal life from you has been removed by Jesus, now you can clothe yourself with the things that really do give life. The thought of being compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient, well, those things sound hard and they don't sound good, but you sure hope everybody else has got that. You sure hope that everybody else will treat you that way. Well, now you can, because you can choose to put those things on because it's part of your inheritance in Christ. You're holy, chosen by God, dearly loved. You are, in fact, the place where God has made His home. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a new creation. The old is gone. And for us to let the peace of Christ live in us richly, we need to remember who the people around us are as well. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, putting the pieces together. Members of one body, you're called to peace. The people around you, you've never met an ordinary person. Ordinary people don't exist. All are made by God. Some are restored to relationship with Him, and they're beautiful beyond belief. And some are not restored to relationship with Him, and they need freedom. Remember who the people around you are in Christ. So with those rememberings, since we can let the peace of Christ rule in us, we need to make some choices. Choose to remove the practices of the old self. You can choose to do that because you can. You're not a victim. You're not stuck. You're a new creation. If you don't know that, if you don't know the freedom that's in Christ, then the enemy will convince you you're staying stuck. But it's a lie. It is not the truth. You're a new creation, and you can live in the freedom of Christ. It is now the real you. You are holy, chosen, dearly loved. That's who you are. And you also have the Holy Spirit who lives in you so that you can do the things you're called to do, not by your own strength, not by trying harder, but by welcoming what's already in you to take place. So back to those verbs. Let the peace of Christ rule. Your choice. Let the peace of Christ give you freedom. Because freedom is yours, 100% in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit has made His home now in you, and you have power. That verse also adds a little phrase at the end. It says, and be thankful. It's not there by accident. It's there because being thankful helps to change our perspective on things. First of all, being thankful is right. Because our Lord loves us. We are chosen and dearly loved and holy by Him. And there are so many blessings that God pours on us every day. Be thankful. It helps in letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. It is your inheritance right here, right now, as well as forever to come. And be thankful. Amen.